We're going over to the States now to introduce Judith Matloff. She teaches conflict reporting at Columbia's Graduate School of Journalism. Her book is called How to Drag a Body and Other Safety Tips You Hope to Never Need, Survival Tricks for Hacking, Hurricanes and Hazards Life Might Throw at You. Welcome to the show, Judith.
Thank you. Good morning, or good afternoon, rather.
Good morning to you. Lovely to have you with us. It's great to speak to you about a really interesting subject. I mean, as we've seen with the COVID-19 pandemic, we're not always prepared for disasters, if you like, are we?
No, we're not. And the whole theme of the book is to think ahead to the worst thing that might happen, prepare for it, and then when it happens, you're prepared.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Why how to drag a body, though?
Well, that was actually my publisher's title. It doesn't mean to drag a corpse. It means, for instance, how to drag a body from incoming traffic or how to drag a body from a fire. So it's not about how to drag somebody into a grave, but how to get them out of danger.
Fabulous. One of the big things is first aid you look at in the book and all the kind of tips on what to do and also what not to do. I was talking to a friend recently, actually, about first aid, and she is a personal trainer and has to kind of do courses quite regularly because they change the rules, don't they, with first aid, how you're supposed to do CPR and things like that.
Absolutely. So one of the key elements of being prepared is to stay on top of the latest safety guidelines. But for instance, you know, getting back to the title, there is a way to drag a body safely and there is a way not to drag it safely. So again, you need to really, you know, if you want to be useful when there's an emergency, you really need to know how to do things properly.
Yeah, because you could make things worse, couldn't you? Whether it's dragging a body or giving someone CPR when they don't actually need it, it's important that you know what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, for instance, if you're giving somebody the Heimlich maneuver, or you think you are, you know, that's when you wrap your arms around somebody's sternum and rib cage and you try to eject something they're choking on, you could actually break a couple bones if you don't do it properly.
Gosh, yes. So there's lots of safety tips to do with first aid and things in the book, yeah?
Yeah, first aid, but there's also a lot about, for instance, you know, we've had floods recently, and where I'm from in New York and in Germany and elsewhere in Europe, and we've had wildfires in Greece and in the United States. I mean, natural disasters are a very big part of the book, and the key for any natural disaster is always have a little bag packed with all your important documents and keys to your house, for instance, but all your copies of all your important documents, your financial documents, your identity documents, your house deed, get copies of them, put them in a plastic envelope, and keep that with a couple days worth of clothing, extra face masks if you need them where you live, you know, fresh water, snacks, a flashlight, an extra battery for your phone. Always have those things in one, what we call a go-to bag or a bug-out bag. Just have it all packed in case, for instance, suddenly floods break out and you're in Germany and your village is being swamped. When you run, you have everything that matters to you in one little bag.
Mm. Yeah, we've actually had some pretty bad fires here on the Costa del Sol that have been going for the last five days, I think now, and that people have been evacuated from their homes then. And I was thinking, you know, gosh, if you had, depending on how much warning you get as to when you need to evacuate, it got me thinking, you know, how prepared would you be in that situation? You know, I can imagine many people thinking, oh my goodness, what do I need? How much of this am I going to, you know, and it's obviously a really stressful situation. So as you say, if you can have a bag packed already, then you're ahead of the game.
Right, and also know where your evacuation routes are. I always recommend that people get what's called an emergency radio. It's hand-cranked, so it's not dependent on electrical sources nor batteries. And I know something like that, you know, with these devastating wildfires in Greece where the power system went, you know, you really need something like that, when the authorities start announcing where you should be escaping to, let's say the cell towers are down or whatever, so you're not getting, you can't plug in your computer, your cell phone isn't working. How do you find out where to go? Well, if you have an emergency radio that's hand cranked, you'll find out.
Mm. One of the other topics in the book is keeping yourself safe when traveling. I did a lot of backpacking traveling on my own when I was in my early 20s. And a lot of people have said to me since, oh, my goodness, how can you've done that all on your own? I never would have done that kind of thing on my own as a female. But again, it's just sort of being prepared, being away, being street smart. Those kind of things can get you far.
Absolutely. And you raise a really important point, which is that women are more vulnerable, obviously, to rape and sexual assault. We're also more vulnerable, you know, getting back to the wildfires that you have in Spain. Women tend to die more women tend to die in natural disasters than men, because women tend to be the ones who are taking care of the children and the elderly. Generally, in nearly every society. So when you think about it, women are more vulnerable to pretty much every type. We're also, you know, when it comes to digital safety, we're more prone to digital, computer online harassment, hacking, that type of thing. Women are just more vulnerable to everything. And when it comes to traveling, you know, I'm glad that you felt comfortable doing it, because I don't think women should not travel because they're scared of what may happen to them. But if they take certain safety precautions, they can ensure or at least guard against the possibility that something terrible would happen. And it can be as simple as, let's say you're flying into an airport at night. It might make sense that night to just stay near the airport and not travel into town if it's late at night, and if you don't have a reliable source of transport. I would recommend generally taking booking a hotel in a good part of town. It may cost more money, but it's obviously going to be safer than if you're staying in a really, you know, sketchy part. Mm. Little things like that can make a huge difference.
Yeah, definitely. Not traveling on your own public transport late at night, as you say, things like that can make a big difference. Go on.
No, you go in.
I was going to say, you mentioned about assault, sexual assault. I mean, just assaults in general, I think. There's lots of classes that, not just women, that anyone can do in terms of keeping yourself safe and different things that you can, if someone is going to attack you, all the different ways to kind of combat that, which are really like, what's the word I'm looking for? What are these classes called? My brain's gone. Self-defense, that's what I was trying to think of. Self-defense classes, yeah.
Another word is assertiveness training. I wouldn't recommend trying to get a black belt in karate. That takes a really long period of time.
Yeah.
But there are courses, very specialized courses. I know they're quite prevalent in the U.S., and I know they offer them in Europe as well, where they teach you how to break a very, very simple wrist hold or how to just use your voice and how to be attuned to what's going on. Oftentimes, you can de-escalate a situation or extract yourself if you're simply situationally aware. And, the voice is a very powerful thing, and you really need to be trained to use it, to shout at somebody, stop, or say in a very steady voice, I don't like this, stop, before it escalates into something. And again, it's really not that hard to break. It's surprising. You know, I'm tiny. I'm 5'3", and I weigh less than a bag of cement. I mean, I'm a tiny, frail-looking person, but I learned in only 6 lessons how to stop somebody grabbing my arm or grabbing me. Like, if you step into the the top of the ankle, if you really, you know, step down there, if you're trained how to kick somebody in the groin, if you're trained how to stick your fingers in somebody's eyes, It's extraordinarily effective, and it's very, very easy to learn these things.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's a obviously you assume that to be a smaller person, a smaller frame, you're at a kind of disadvantage. You know, if you're going up against a big burly man who's trying to attack you. But as you say, if there's certain things that you can do where the size of the person doesn't come into it at all.
Yeah, and a lot of it is just, and this again is the theme of the book, it's simply to anticipate and act before things go downhill. And, you know, many women I know, for instance, you know, date rape, they're in a situation and their instinct tells them things are not right, but they're scared of displeasing the person, or they're scared of seeming, you know, strident or harsh. And so part of assertiveness training is teaching that you have the right to say to somebody, I don't like the situation, I'm getting out of it, and not worry about hurting their feelings, and really being attuned to, like, if your instinct tells you something just isn't right, it probably isn't. I mean, we are animals, we are part of the universe, we are instinctual, even though, you know, we're sophisticated humans. And if you're attuned, situationally aware, and have the confidence to assert yourself, you usually, or not usually, but you oftentimes can get out of a situation, either, you know, diffuse it or extract yourself before it goes south.
Yeah. Now, a lot of what we've been talking about is very serious stuff, serious advice, which is really important. But I understand in the book there are some humorous stories as well. Can you enlighten us with a humorous story on this?
Right. Well, I mean, I tell one where I'm going hiking, and fortunately, I'd done some research into rattlesnakes. I was hiking in the desert, and I came across these women, these two French women, and they were taking selfies with a rattlesnake that was about to strike. And, you know, I use this example to explain that when you get into a situation, even like hiking, you should know, like, how the animals are going to react. You know, and then this man came along, this elderly man, he had a cane, or not a cane, like a walking stick, and he was thumping it to get the animal away. And that's actually the vibrations will actually provoke the animal to leap into the air and, like, bite you and inject venom into your veins. So, you know, I try to inject kind of a ribald humor into, you know, situations like that. I mean, you know, what really led me into all the safety stuff was I was working in Angola, a southwestern African country, and I had no idea how to, like, how to cover a war. That was really the first major war I ever covered. And, you know, like, I had this big satellite phone. In those days, those satellite phones were like the size of a coffee table. And I didn't realize that you need a surge protector in places where there are electricity shorts. And so, you know, I blithely plugged it in, and then, you know, the electricity went out, and I blew my whole you know, $10,000 equipment. And I mean, I don't know if you consider this funny, but it there's an absurdity to it. And it was simply a matter of, if I just simply had read the instructions and simply had a surge protector, I could have, you know, prevented that. But, you know, I mean, I also, the book has these quite hilarious cartoons by a cartoonist from the New Yorker magazine to provide some levity. For instance, in the cartoon where we explain how to drag a body, which is you basically cradle somebody under the armpits, you rest their head and their neck very gently, and you drag them very gently. Well, one of the illustrations of how not to drag a body, there's a woman looking into her cell phone, and she's just dragging a person on the phone by the wrist, not even looking at the person, but, you know, texting. Mm. So it's that kind of thing. But I think one does need a bit of levity, because, as you said, the stuff is pretty heavy.
Yeah. Oh, it's good. It sounds like you've got a good balance in there. So with all the places that you've traveled to, and all the war zones and reporting and things that you've done, what was some, did you have come across any kind of scary moments that you either were thankful that you felt prepared, or maybe didn't feel prepared at the time, and therefore, you know, did the research into it?
Yeah, well, I mean, again, you know, this assignment to Angola in 1992, you couldn't have found a less prepared human being. you know, I would hear gunfire, and I'm a journalist, so I would think, oh, I got to go check it out. Whereas actually when you hear gunfire, you're not supposed to run towards it. You're actually supposed to run away from it. I didn't know that. And then, at one point, the only way to travel around the country, because all the roads were landmined or there just weren't roads, so the only way to travel around the country, there were no commercial flights for a period of time, is you'd go to the military airport and you would hitch a ride on an airplane and you'd just, go somewhere and hopefully come back. And, we didn't have cell phones in those days. So, when I went somewhere, I didn't have any way to communicate with anybody. So I'd go to the airport and I'd hop on a plane and nobody would know where I was. So if anything had happened, nobody could, send in the Marines looking for me, And at one point, the only flight going was, it was a diamond smuggling flight. And they were going into the diamond district. And I thought, oh, this is really cool. I'll just show up there. And it wasn't cool. So I show up. I was with a colleague. And we show up, and it was Friday, and we had forgotten the fact that people get paid on Friday, and that's when they get drunk. So we show up at this airstrip. It wasn't even an airport. And there's a bunch of drunk policemen, heavily armed, and they took one look at us, and they decided they wanted to rape us. And we, it wasn't like we couldn't call anybody for help. And, how do you argue with a heavily armed man who's drunk?
Oh, my goodness.
In a place where, the police are the bad guys. So that was not a good situation. We managed to stall them. And then it turned out there was somebody who had heard the plane and was going to the airport wondering if any food was being delivered, and he found us. He was a priest, and he told the men to, leave us alone, and he got us out of there and then gave us a very stern lecture. But, I was constantly getting myself into these stupid, stupid situations like that. Another case was there was a BBC crew, and they were flying into another besieged town. And I spoke Portuguese, which was the lingua franca, and they didn't. And they said, hey, do you want to come along our plane, and you can help us translate? And I thought, wow, this is really cool. They're going to pay me. I'm with the BBC. I get a free flight. This is so cool. Wow. So, we land, again, at an airstrip. It's a heavily mined area, landmines. And, these rebel guys, heavily armed, approach the planes. And the BBC crew say, okay, you go first because you speak Portuguese. this is not cool.
No.
But fortunately, I walked out of there, and because I look like a fifth grader, I look like an 11-year-old. they were like, "What the heaven's name is this?" So they put down their guns. And it's like, "What are you doing here, young lady?" Yeah, I wasn't that young, but I looked young. And anyway, so I was constantly getting myself into stupid situations, which I would not do today.
Yeah. Wow. So I mean, this is the thing about life, isn't it? I mean, you get yourself into stupid situations, and then you think, won't do that again.
they are what I tell my son, who's a student, a learning moment.
Yes, definitely. Life is full of them, thank goodness. Well, it's been great to chat with you. Some great stories there, and some fantastic tips in the book. It's called How to Drag a Body and Other Safety Tips You Hope to Never Need. It's by, I've lost your name there.
Judith Matloff. I know you have a lot.
Judith Matloff, who we've been chatting to. Judith, thank you so much for joining us. The book is available on our website, so listeners can get it from there.
Thank you so much, and everybody, stay safe.
Yes, stay safe. Thank you, Judith. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.